Good afternoon. Great to see you all. This afternoon, our passage is Titus chapter 3. It is on page, church pew Bible is 998. I will read it for you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and then authorities, and to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, and to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and then pleasure, and passing our days in the malice and in envy, hated by others and then hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies and dissensions and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. When I send an Artemis and then an Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Janus the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing, and then let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who loved us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this precious opportunity to face your word now. Guide us to become mature Christian through your word, and which you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I usually start with, since past few months that I preached on a minor prophet, but why I choose today is Titus is that I'm bringing this text for the Columbia brothers and sisters for the Bible conference. So John is in chapter 1 and Nick is chapter 2, and then I'm teaching chapter 3. This is what I'm bringing, and please examine my preaching and then just let me know after worship, Joe, you are not ready to go to Columbia. Yeah. So the book of Titus is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his disciples Titus. While the most of Paul's letters are addressed to the church, so church committed receiving Paul's letter, but first and then second Timothy and the book of Titus are classified as pastoral epistles, because the recipients of these letters are Timothy and Titus, so who are local pastors there. It is worth knowing the context of the book of Titus. It takes a little effort for us, because you will need, Joe, it's headaches. Yeah, maybe you need a little effort to understand the context. But after understanding, it gives us benefit that it will help us to discern what Paul was trying to deliver the message from the book of Titus. And I will mention two major categories. First thing is a Crete Island, which is located in the middle Mediterranean East Sea, and then its culture. So one is a place, and then one is culture. This information I list is a compilation of the a Bible project webpage, at the same time, three or four commentaries that I studied this week. The first, the place, the Crete Island, is that when you see chapter 1:5, and then it starts like this. This is why I left you in Crete. So Crete is an island that where the Apostle Paul left Titus. It is located in the Mediterranean Sea. Easily you can imagine that Mediterranean Sea is like this, a little bit oval. But if you make a round sea, your right hand, and this is imagine that your index finger here is Antioch, and then right cross like this at the end of this my index finger and then thumb, and then in the middle is kind of where the Crete Island. It is the fourth biggest island in Mediterranean Sea, and then here at the end, just below here, here is Africa. And then here nearby is Greece, and then Rome, and then Spain, and then just you can see the Jerusalem, and then here. So it is very strategic place to share gospel. At the same time, many people and the traders, and then and just because Africa is sending all the crops and the harvest to go to, just all the Romans at the time. So it is really benefit that they making a lot of money for trading. And then just activities happen there. When Apostle Paul complete the, When Apostle Paul complete his third missionary journey and went to Jerusalem, Jews from Asia found him and persecuted him. So he was detained in Caesarea prison for about 2 years. After that, he was taken to Rome for trial and boarded a ship, where the ship stopped for a while at a place called Fair Havens. It is at the port city of the located in the island Crete. So Apostle Paul probably decided to preach the gospel to Crete Island after he knew about it, because he stopped by there and then know that there are many, many people are there, and it's a very active city there. So it is easy to understand why Apostle Paul tried to spread the gospel there. So after he detained in the Caesarea 2 years and then ship for 6 months and then detained another 2 years in Rome, so total 5 years, right after 5 years of the just his imprisonment, and then he finished. And then some scholars thinking that he went to Spain and then coming to Crete, or other people saying that there is no evidence that he went to Spain, but he just right away come to this island, Crete. So anyway, and then he stayed there, and then he preached gospel there. That is evidence. And then and why he is about to wrap up, and then he left his disciple Titus. Second culture. Right now they just about we study about the Crete island. Second culture. Culture in Crete was really secular society. It is recorded that we are a mother, just a mother of the god Zeus, to avoid her husband Cronus, who eats his children. It is a myth. It's not a true story. And so Zeus, who appears in ancient Greek mythology as a god to this island, Crete. So Leah, too afraid of the Cronus, the father, keep eating his children. So the mom sent this Zeus god to this island, Crete. So Crete people was really proud of themselves that, yes, our god, a god Zeus, is grown up our island. So they know about the story of Zeus, and then they worship Zeus. So the culture was pretty secular there. Very interesting is that here is a challenge, thoughts. Do you know that what Zeus is famous for? It is a disguise. His disguise. What is for? That there is a concept of this Zeus that he turns into cow. Sometimes he turns into snake. Sometimes he turns into human being as a man. For what? That he enjoys his sexual intercourse with the opponent. So he's switching to snake, he's switching to cow, he's switching to human being to enjoying this intercourse. So imagine that if a god, it is kind of enjoying sexual intercourse, and how about the story that influenced by the people who are influenced by this story, and then about their lifestyle. So they were well known for, Zeus was also well known for the liar. He was pretty good at lying, and to his wife. Every time that he did sexual intercourse, and then Hera and his wife is pursuing them, what did you do? And then always he make a lie. So lie and then sexual problem was dominant in the island of Crete. And then this is not what I'm making right now, but we can see the book of the Bible, how Paul described here. It is verse 1:12. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." So see that, what does it mean, evil beasts? It means that they always move by their physical needs. If they want sexual intercourse, and then they do, and then if they want to make it liars, and they lie. So the culture in Crete is really, really secular, at the same time, not good. And then perhaps because of this culture, and then Paul just was aware of this culture, and then starting his letter like this. It is chapter 1, verse 2, but I will read from the verse 1 so that you can understand. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of truth, which accords with the godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God," he emphasizing there, "who never lies." He's starting his letter, letter, and emphasizing that our God, he does not lie, which is kind of contrast the culture there. So in Titus chapter 1, the requirements of the election, Paul left a mission to the Titus that, "Titus, you have to choose some elect the elders from each city." And then one of the just a few requirements was that who is not debauchery, which is immorality, and then insubordination, which is a misconduct, an arrogant, quick temper, drunkard, violent, and then greedy for gain. So we can see that why Paul mentioning that when you choose a man for the elder, and then you have to avoid these six categories or seven categories, that and then who are not drunkard, and then who are not lying, and who are not immorality issues and misconduct. Why? Because in the church, Paul already saw the problems. The members, they come to Christ, but still they have their issues, what they have. So this context, a severe secular culture based on lying and then sexual problems could be why Paul emphasized good works throughout the book of Titus. Just maybe you can, if you have a Bible right now, I can point out, I will not read it, just chapter 1, verse 16. Can you see they are good work at the end of the verse? And then chapter 2, 7. And then also good works. And then chapter 2, verse 14. And then you can also see that. And good works at the end of the chapter 2, 14. And chapter 3, verse 1. And a good work. And then chapter 3, 8. And also good works. And then chapter 3, 14. Also we can see that good works. So repeating, Titus, Paul emphasizing that press on good works. That is Paul trying to do in the book of Titus. And let us go to today's passage, verse 1 and 2, chapter 3. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work, and to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, and to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people." So hear them is that it is referring to all the saints who appear in chapter 2. chapter 2 is here that chapter 2 verse 2 order men, and chapter 2 3 order woman, chapter 2 4 young woman, and chapter 2 6 young men, and then chapter 2 9 bond servant. So Paul addressed these people that don't drink alcohol, and then don't drink all these kinds of just behavior issues that they have, and then he addressing these issues. And then Paul in chapter 3, please remind each one of them, each one of these people, saying that be ready for good work, and then submissive to rulers and authorities, and to be obedient. And that Apostle Paul exhorts his disciple Titus to teach the people of Crete to obey the ruling power, authority, because as a Crete had a history that riots and then revolts against the authority every time. Because they have a money, and because they have a temper, short temper, and then they drunkard, and then always when Roman soldier and then emperor just coming and then ruling there, and then they're always making revolt and riots there. So Paul addressing the Christian, you should not do that. No quarreling and no speak of evils, and be submissive to authority. Verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and then pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Verse 3, for, it means because, tells us why Christians must strive to do good works. In particular, verse 3 begins with foolish. I want to a little bit study this foolish, and I will just spend time on this foolish word. In original Greek word is combination of word negative a, and then just a prefix, and then combined with the two verbs. One is to know, the other one is realize. So negative, know, and then realize. It can be understood as incomprehensible or unwise. So if I substitute is that we were incomprehensible or we are unwise. We can translate in that way, in a literal way. Because we do not understand or unwise, because the incomprehensible and foolish toward God, and people have no choice but disobey. Because if they know something, then they choose either they have to follow or they have to know that they disobey. But since they cannot understand, they have no directions, and they have nothing to believe here, what they can do is that only disobey. That is what Paul trying to say here. And because they are unwise and then all thing and then disobey all unwise, only left for them is deceived by people. So people are lying each other and then always deceiving each other. And then if I speak a lie to just up front in front of the people, and then maybe they believe in the first time. But if I keep lying and lying, lying, how the people can believe me, right? It is culture that lying, 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 and then all people there is kind of deceived by themselves. So no incomprehensible, no knowledge on gospel, and then it leads to unwise and incomprehensible, and then at the end it's kind of they always disobey towards God, and then always they deceiving by each other. That is a culture. And then just Paul addressed this is meaning foolish there. How can a person is kind of this is a kind of vicious circle, and then foolish, and then disobey, and then just being deceived by others, and then just unwise. Every day, their life is deceiving each other, and then they're deceiving each other, and they being deceived by others too. So only difference of the degrees that everyone, Paul addresses that we were foolish. So we is including all just Christian there. Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, it is God who is kind to us and loves people who appears certain time and save us. The verb interpreted as goodness in verse 4 means moral goodness and kindness. And is also interpreted as a kindness, as a gentle in other books. Romans and then Galatians, it is translated as a very gentle and then kindness. In addition to word translated as a loving kindness, that loving kindness is a combination of the word that love and humanity, expressed in original just meaning that it means that love of mankind or loving human beings. Basically, verse saying is that God is so kind and then God is loving people. This is his character. It is how much really sweet that God loves people. That is really our foundation of our gospel, that God loves people so much. God is super kind. That is our God. Just kind of he's saying here, verse 5 and 6, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by washing of regeneration and renewal of Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. How beautiful is the expression here in this verse. Please let us look into it. The condition, salvation condition is that not because of our righteousness, we do something great, that's why he said no. But because of only his mercy, Father's mercy. So after washing us clean and being born again, Holy Spirit gives us a new heart and pour out his Spirit on every heart through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word regeneration means again. It's a combination of word again, birth, rebirth, and reproduction. It is worth noting that because just when I click it, this Greek word, and then it only appears two times. This Greek word used only two times. I love this because I don't have to study all other 30 references, right? So I study this. And then this word, regeneration, exact Greek form, is only used in the book of Titus and then Matthew chapter 19:28. Usually, if it is pushed later, I just kind of read it, I'm skipping it. But this Matthew chapter 19:28, Jesus used this word. So I went there and I studied there. I want to read it to you. Just try to understand what is regeneration mean there. Matthew chapter 19:28. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It is ESV. So you can say that, yeah, Joe, I can say that it's a new word, but you cannot grasp what does it mean there. So this is NET version, New English Translation. It is one of the modern translation. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, in the age when all things are renewed," that is this regeneration mean. So when Jesus used this regeneration concept, he meant his second coming, that total change. Physically, although it seemed to me, just after I just keep trying to convince myself, but when I try to understand how Paul tried to deliver his message and the concept that regeneration here, that I cannot see that whole total change, but is a baptism or spiritual cleansing, which is just regenerate. But it is also good to know that this word also used by Jesus that means to total physical regeneration, a total change. And then just you, right now, we see everything beautiful here, but it's total change that we can see in the age when all things are renewed. That is what about regeneration. And the other words that the scholars speculate that the washing generation could mean the one-time event, which is that when we repent of the baptism, that it has happened one time. And conversely, the renewal of the Spirit means our sanctification. It's day by day. We participate in Holy Spirit leading us and then his guidance, and we participate in our sanctification. And verse 7 and 8. "So that being justified his grace, and we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. When we did not know and when we were unwise to choose what is right, we all, nobody can exercise righteousness because we do not know. And so we all exercise evil. However, due to God's saving work, only God's work, the regeneration, also renewal in our spirit, and now we become heirs for eternal life. Apostle Paul exhorts Titus to encourage each people, each saints, to think deeply. Here is be careful. Just literal meaning is that ponder, that think very deeply. So let us go back to our questions that, as I mentioned just in the beginning, that due to context of the Crete, Paul might emphasize in good works. But what is the fundamental reason to do good works? Why do we have to do good works? And what is the reason that we have to do good works? Apostle Paul put forward the gospel as why Christians should live a holy and a separate life and then do good works. We are unwise, we are foolish, and when we are incomprehensible towards God, but God saved us, He washed us to do good works. It is Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us for all lawlessness and then to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are jealous for good works. So when he cleans us and then he purifies us, he desires us to do good works. That is the reason. But at the same time, Paul emphasizes in chapter 3 and 7 that, hey guys, please think deeply. Please ponder why God saves you. And then he encourages. That is the reason why we have to do good works. In today's text, verse 8, that Paul exhorts us to think carefully and think deeply for the good works. What is God's earnest wish for us when he saved us? And I'm not sure that Paul's lifetime that he had a chance to read the book of Matthew, but this is Matthew chapter 5:16, because Carlos Aragon, it is good works in Greek, is used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5:16. I'm not sure that Paul had a chance to read the book of Matthew or had a chance to listen this word, but my conclusion for my study is that he used this Carlos Aragon from Jesus. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So this good works, Jesus speaking here, it is Carlos Aragon, is the same Greek word and Paul used in Titus, book of Titus. I hope that just and pray that we will fulfill God's desire to spread the light of the salvation through our good works to people around us. And now that I will give you, to make you really laughing, because it's 2 p.m., you're really tired, I will give you two funny stories. One is really funny story. It is very well-known story in South Korea that kind of two drivers, while driving, and then they fight each other in the very, very kind of six lines each other. It's all Christian knows this story. And six lines each other. And then two kinds of the drivers are arguing in the beginning that you did this wrong and you did this wrong. You stopped it. And they're fighting. But at the end, they argue too much. Then they about to punch each other. And one person ran into his car and then he picked up one book from his car and then bring it, and then hit another person's head, and then read this book. Guess what, my question, what is this book? Yes, David, Bible. So this Christian bringing his Bible from his car, to hit this the other driver, and then he, my question is that to him, what was the Bible for him? To him, what does it mean, this Bible? To him, I'm wondering that he really understand about the faith, and then he really understand about the good works, and he really understand about how much God loves him, and then his purpose, God's purpose on his life. Second, this is a not funny story, but it's a very beautiful story. So there is a church named Gamjatang. Gamjatang is a very well-known dishes in South Korea. It is a backbones of the pigs, and then they boil with the vegetable, and it is kind of very delicious soup. But the church name is Gamjatang, like just kind of we say, I'm a chicken noodle soup church. So wondering why they named it on it. The behind the story is that they purchasing the store in a Gamjatang place, and then they didn't change their just there. But beautiful thing is that their motivation of church is that chapter 3 verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. So their motivation or their moral, like the motivation for the church is that be ready for every good work. So every time that when Korea had a disaster, because every year that there is a typhoon in South Korea happens. So whenever typhoons and then the shipwrecks happen and oil spread on the sea, this church, whole church, packed all delicious food and going there and then serving the volunteers there. And then 911 people, police, and all the volunteers. And then they share gospel there. So there is a church that comes out. I hope our church also be ready for good works. I want you to be ready for good works. How? When we ponder, when we think deeply, how much God loves us. When we really realize that how much He loved us so much, then we can ready to be ready. Yes, Lord, please use me. Please pray for our mission team. I think I'm ready for go to Colombia mission, but after you listen my sermon, then you did not satisfy. So you are not ready to go. just let me know. But let us be ready for good works, and then please pray for me and Enrique and John and then other 8 church members. Be ready for good works in Colombia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, warms our hearts every day, every moment, so that we can continue to good works and become people who give joy to you. Just as we were foolish, help us to remember that the people of the world who do not know yet, but you love them, and you are waiting them to come to you. We pray that you will use us so that God's love for them can be conveyed to each and every person around us. We sincerely thank you for renewing us and giving us the Holy Spirit to become people of you. And we pray in our Savior Jesus. Amen.